Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's game with words, wit, and definitions.
Giddy App is something you download to make your iPhone happy.
Setting the standard a little low, wouldn't you think?
It's the ultimate team game, where decisions are reached by studied consensus.
Well, you're so persuasive, Carolyn. I agree with you.
Do you? And Arnie?
I'm irrelevant.
Yes, but do you agree with me?
And then there's the profound respect shown by each of our team of panelists for the other, even when that team is struggling to find answers.
Got it, we got it! Which one of you guys wants it?
Just control yourself. What's the matter with you?
All the linguistic twists and turns you've come to expect on Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Ties between the U.S. and Afghanistan are being strained further today. An American soldier has allegedly gone on a shooting spree. NATO's chief spokesman in Afghanistan, German Brigadier General Carsten Jakobsen, says the shootings happened not far from the soldier's base.
A member of force, a U.S. soldier, left his base in Kandahar in the middle of the night, went into the nearby village, and shot at Afghan civilians.
Early reports suggest that at least 15 Afghan civilians are dead. NATO has not confirmed the death toll, but has detained the accused service member. After a strong victory in the Kansas caucus this weekend, Rick Santorum is hoping to take his momentum into the Deep South. NPR's Kathy Lohr reports all of the GOP candidates have been campaigning in Alabama and Mississippi ahead of Tuesday's primaries.
Santorum will campaign in Meridian and Gulfport today, seeking support from conservative evangelical voters, and Newt Gingrich makes a stop outside Jackson, trying to convince the same group of Republicans. Mitt Romney is also trying to attract Deep South voters. At a stop last week, the former Massachusetts governor mentioned eating a biscuit and what he called cheesy grits. Gingrich jumped on that, saying a candidate that doesn't know grits may not understand the South. Gingrich hopes to win Alabama and Mississippi, but Santorum has said the former speaker should get out of the race so he can become the alternative to Romney. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Jackson, Mississippi.
In Japan today, memorial ceremonies for the victims of the massive earthquake and tsunami that devastated the northeastern coast. People are marking the time the earthquake struck 1 year ago today. The disaster claimed more than 19,000 lives and caused a nuclear crisis that's still reverberating. Japanese Emperor Akihito spoke at a memorial service in Tokyo's National Theater. Akihito urged people to work together to improve the situation in the disaster area. Speaking at the same event, Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda acknowledged failures in the government's response to the disaster. It's been a year since the disaster struck, and Japan's economy is struggling. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports on fuel costs that are a big part of the cause.
The tsunami destroyed four nuclear power plants and caused two others to shut down. Since then, concerns about the safety of nuclear power have temporarily closed 52 of the country's nuclear plants, leaving only two operating. To make up for that electricity, Japan has had to buy more coal, natural gas, and fuel oil from foreign sources. That's pushed Japan's balance of trade into a deficit for the first time in decades. Economists say if Japan decides not to switch most of those reactors back on, replacing them will take decades at a cost that will undercut growth in the nation's economy. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
This is NPR News. Authorities in the Pacific Northwest are searching for four people who disappeared from a fishing trawler. The Coast Guard received a distress signal yesterday, but all crews have found so far is a debris field, an empty, damaged lifeboat, and an oil sheen several miles off the coast of Washington State. Coast Guard Petty Officer Sean Eggert says crews are working hard to find the missing fishermen.
We are continuing to draw on our, on the many resources at our disposal to try and locate the crew of this vessel. we all hope for a good outcome to this.
An air search expected to resume today, but two Coast Guard cutters worked through the night. The Guard says it has searched hundreds of square miles. 6 months after Rupert Murdoch closed Britain's best-selling Sunday paper, The News of the World, which was at the center of the UK's phone hacking scandal, Larry Miller reports that Murdoch's gamble on a new Sunday paper appears to be paying off.
Audited figures show that Murdoch's Sun on Sunday sold 3.2 million copies in its initial edition at the end of last month. That's a half a million more than the News of the World was selling when it was closed in August. Media analysts say once the novelty wears off, the Sun circulation could fall, but that first run sold twice as many as its closest competitor, another tabloid, the Sunday Mirror. Of the so-called quality papers, Murdoch also scores high. His London Sunday Times sold more than 900,000 copies, double that of its closest competitor, the Sunday Telegraph. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Thousand Oaks, California comes from the good folks at KCLU-FM, public radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties from California Lutheran University.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
From the stage of the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza in Thousand Oaks, California, welcome to the continuing struggle of East versus West on Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's the Western team's designated hitter, the David Ortiz of wit, Mr. Nat Segalov. She's our genuine Hollywood heavyweight, our sugar ray of sunshine, Sabrina Wind. And he's the California quarterback of verbiage, the Roman Gabriel of gab, Mr. Doug Palau. And who might lead on this occasion?
I'll be captain.
Doug. We'll lead you into battle.
Yes, you said that.
To my left, team two, ladies and gentlemen, the management of this theater would like me to point out the exits because they've heard her puns before. Carolyn Faye Fox. Ladies and gentlemen, we urge you to keep your seats no matter what next you may hear from Miss Paula Lyons. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, good news. Big Arnie is back in town, Mr. Arnie Raceman. All right, who's up for it this week?
I will be your leader, puns and all.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn.
You and the Gabriel of Gab.
The Roman Gabriel of Gab.
That yeah. Was...
Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. Mm-hmm. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, giddy.
Giddy would mean to be sort of silly and carried away and high-spirited.
To be almost uncontrollably happy or enthusiastic.
Yes.
That's 5 points.
Enriched giddy, with gid.
Enriched with gid.
Full of
from
gid.
From Gidget. I think it's more Gidget. Likely that Gidget came from giddy.
Yeah.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah. Gadget
right.
Or something.
Gid.
Is it some other language at its root?
Not, well, it's... Comes from the Saxon, actually.
Oh. Well, okay. Saxon. It comes from the Saxon.
Comes from the Saxon.
I was hoping right. It was Yiddish or something.
Yeah, no. Yiddish. Comes from the Saxon.
Comes from the Saxon. Yeah.
Who
the
obviously Saxons. Were having a much better time than those Angles.
Yes, exactly.
So...
Wasn't that they were having a better time. It was that they...
Like get? Like, does it come from get?
No, but I'm going to give you a point just for, you know, good effort there, but...
Okay.
We knew the definition.
Yeah, well, that's a total of 6 points. Anybody on the other side want to take a shot?
Giddy.
What does it look like?
What does it look like?
It looks like giddy up.
It looks
it
like...
It does look like giddy
up. Yeah, I mean, giddy app is something you download to make your iPhone happy.
Setting the standard a little low, wouldn't you think?
Giddy, does it have to do with God?
It has everything
God?
To do with God.
Oh, wow.
God.
Wow.
Laughing at, well, because gossip is God's slip.
That's right.
And God be with you is goodbye. So perhaps giddy is don't laugh in church.
That's
I wanted to be that.
From. It is a corruption of the God. Saxon for godly.
Godly.
As such behavior was originally thought to be insane and caused by possession by a deity.
I see. Wow. And insane and godly meant the same.
That's the English language for you.
I see.
All right, try this one, Doug. Definition and derivation of slapstick.
Well, slapstick is obviously a style of comedy, a physical comedy. And the origin is from a stick that was used to slap people with.
Yeah, there was two pieces of wood together, which when hit on somebody would make a much louder sound than it actually made an impression on the person being hit.
I don't know how he knows this, but he's exactly right.
It's a workout.
Very good. It is physical comedy, often characterized by pratfalls and faux fighting, probably from 16th century Italy, that no one's really sure, where live theater and puppetry often would have that kind of action, and a stage manager would stand in the wings with two pieces of wood, as you said, and slap them together to make the sound of contact. Try this one, Arnie. Definition and derivation of coward.
Well, a coward is somebody who retreats from conflict or confrontation and... Yep.
Is it from cowering? Cowering? Is it the same root?
Is it the same root as cowering, as hiding and or trying to look small like you're not there? And
like a small cow.
Like a small... Yeah.
Is there such a thing?
What? You're right to go to the animal kingdom.
Are we going into cow herd?
Cow yard?
No. Yeah, first of all, it is a timid or easily intimidated person.
Yeah.
Or a timely, for that matter.
A timely, yeah.
Someone who lacks fortitude in the face of danger...
Are we talking about Aesop's Fables?
No. This.
Are we talking about dogs?
Yes, we are, actually.
All right, dogs.
If you go, raise your hand over a dog, the dog will flinch.
Right. Or what else might he do in the face of danger?
Bite.
No, well, that's true.
No,
but
retreat. I mean,
run
the other way.
Run away.
I'm going to give you 8 points. You're a long way there. Anybody want to help him on this side? Anyone in the audience have an idea?
Cow.
Well, that's true.
It's actually from the Latin cauda, of course, for tail.
Oh.
Tail. Well, the tail gets tucked.
And the tail gets tucked between the legs when it is retreating. It turns, and it's from the Latin for tail. But you got the animal part of it right. I'm giving you 8 points, and nice job on that. Try this one, Sabrina. Definition and derivation of sirloin.
As in steak?
As in steak.
Okay, so I know it's the part of a cow.
I think that's probably safe to assume.
Go with the cow. Sirloin is a kind of a slang term. It actually means to imbue with royalty the best part of the animal for eating purposes, like sirloin.
So
it's a certain...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's X number of ribs down from... The part where you start cutting it as defined by the USDA. It has a certain amount of marbling, a certain amount of preference, which is called sirloin.
Well, you're about 6 points there, but because you did get the definition. But I'm going to the other side because I think they know.
Wasn't it's not only the choice or prime piece of steak, but I thought it actually was quote unquote knighted in a ceremony.
This is
I already tried that.
Surely you just
go down to your local butcher for a knighting.
No, anyone in the audience want to help out? That is exactly right, from the French sirloin. Above the loin, which is where the cut comes from. And, of course, it is a prime cut of beef. Try this one, Paula. Plonk.
Oh.
P-L-O-N-K, plonk.
It's a cheap wine.
Yeah,
sure is. It's actually cheap, quickly made, often bitter or tasteless wine.
Right. By Sidney Plonk.
By Sidney Plonk. Yes. No, it wasn't Sidney Plonk.
So where do we suppose it came from, then, this cheap wine? Not the wine,
sound
but the
of plopping that bottle down on the table, plonk.
Plonk.
Yeah. Oh, because an expensive bottle makes a different sound?
Yes. It sounds like a lot of cash.
That Petrus says a completely different sound.
Thank you very much.
Plonk.
Petrus. Once again, you want to go, this is the linguistic origin. This is a real...
Well, maybe it's an acronym. Let's see.
You plonk down $2 and you get a bottle of plonk.
No, not really.
No?
I plonk. See we don't have a whole lot of French scholars
okay.
Here today.
Okay, plonk.
Oh,
that kind of plonk.
Plonk.
Oh,
plonk.
Oh, as in walk the plonk.
Monsieur.
Annie, does the French help you at all?
Plonk.
No.
No, okay.
Well, could it be from plonk, from plank?
I'm sorry?
Planche from plank?
No. Does the other side have any thoughts?
Wood? Is it wood? No.
No?
Not in English.
Not in English. Anybody in the audience?
No, we don't know French.
It comes from the... It is a corruption of the French vin blanc. Vin blanc, white wine.
White wine.
And it comes from World War I. It's GI slang, plunkety plunk, which is how they heard vin blanc. And that's where it comes from.
Weren't we classy?
So we all learned
of
a little
course,
something
brother.
Tonight. It was good.
This is like elephant and
did we get any points at all?
Yeah, you get, you got the definition, so you get 5 points. Give them 6 points for their effort.
Gee, thanks.
And make it 5 points now that I think. No, give them 6 points. Give them 6 points for their effort. Try this one, Nat. From pillar to post.
No. Well, it certainly sounds like a distance, a roundabout, perhaps in a race. Or something covered
it's
further
not,
as opposed to farther.
Well, it's not a race. First of all, do you know the definition from pillar to post?
From like here to there. And
yeah, pretty much. It's from here to there, from back and forth, from one thing to another. Now, that's 5 points for the definition, but where would this come from?
Does it have to do with a relay or some competition where...
Yes, it has to do with some competition, not a relay.
Is it a particular pillar and a particular post that
yeah, it is,
from
actually.
From a marathon? From go from, like, the pillar out to the post office? I don't know.
Post office.
No, it's not a race. It's a different kind of sport, though. I see that we have to work on the French here, because once again, this goes back to the... Yeah, to 14th century France.
And I was just there yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Anybody have any thoughts about what kind of activity might this be?
Carolyn has a guess.
Go ahead.
Hunting.
Not hunting.
Fox hunting, no.
Audience, you want to take a shot at it?
Kind of throwing.
Okay.
No, it is actually...
Archery.
From 14th century French lawn tennis.
Lawn
where
tennis.
Volleying, volleying was
real
critical. And often contestants had to run from the post that held up the net back to the pillar that held up the gallery from the rear. That's what it means from pillar to post, and that's where it comes from 14th century French lawn tennis.
Do we get points or love for
you
that?
You get 6 points for that. You get 6 points for your effort. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from Joyce Keating and Christine DeClotz. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Doug's team. 10 points up for grabs to Doug if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds. to come up with a definition for the word. Once again, the contribution of Barbara Clearbridge of Ferrisburg, Vermont. That word is Kenspeckle. 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 Ladies? Support for Says You comes from Sage Publications, resources for book authors, editors, booksellers, faculty, librarians, and others. On the web at sagepub.com. That's S-A-G-E-P-U-B. And thanks also to California Lutheran University, dedicated to excellence in the liberal arts and professional studies. On the web at callutheran.edu. Says You returns after this from home.
More than 90 academic majors, a dozen pre-professional programs, and a well-rounded liberal arts curriculum give Harding University students a wide range of choices when it comes to choosing a field of study. Students from across the U.S. and more than 50 countries choose to make Harding their home. Experience faith, learning, and living at Harding University. More information available online at harding.edu.
Support for Says You on WPLN comes from WPLN listener members and from Bookman Bookwoman, located at 21st Avenue South in Hillsborough Village, featuring New York Times bestsellers and concessions on new books with parking provided in Hillsborough Village, bookmanbookwoman.com. And by Associates in Gastroenterology, offering personal and private routine colon cancer screening as part of regular wellness healthcare needs. More on routine screenings for ages 50 and over at 885-1093. And by Austin Peay Center for Excellence in Creative Arts, featuring poetry readings with former U.S. Poet Laureate Billy Collins, March 16th at 8 p.m. in the APSU Concert Hall. It's 22 minutes after 9, 50 degrees in Nashville.
Says You says thanks to the Santa Monica Beach Hotel. Elegance on the ocean, steps from Santa Monica Pier. On the web at lowshotels.com/Santa Monica. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. That is Joyce Keating on cello and Christine DeKlotz on piano. Thank you very much, folks. This gives me also a moment to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please help me thank? That's Wesley Gerard on the right and Miss Hannah Fox on the left. Thanks, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word Kenspeckle. We will go first to a smiling Carolyn Faye Fox.
Kenspeckle. What... What Barbie's boyfriend doesn't have.
I knew this was coming. I knew it was coming.
I think that. No. The real definition, Kenspeckle. A British ale with a pale golden color and a bitter finish.
Ooh, that was a rolling ooh. Did you hear that one? A British pale ale? Is Ken Speckle?
Yes.
Could be. Or it could be something else. Arnie?
I think it's more from the dairy or poultry industry because apparently it's a raised blemish found on an eggshell so misshapen that the egg is rejected for sale.
Evidently some poultry farmers in the audience. A raised blemish on an eggshell is a Ken Speckle.
Is a raised blemish.
Could be. Or it could be something else. What say you, Paula?
Well, believe it or not, it's an adjective. Just means, you know, something that is conspicuous, easily recognized. I got to thinking, though, how would Raymond Chandler use this, you know? Even from 40 feet away, her cleavage was Ken Speckle.
That's how he'd use it, all right.
Yep.
I think he might. Yeah, he might.
Conspicuous, easily seen, that's Ken Speckle. Okay, that could be it. It could be a raised blemish on an eggshell, or it could be British pale ale. It is one of the three, and the choice, Doug, is yours.
Well, British ale, a flagon of Ken Speckle. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that one. The raised blemish on the eggshell is a good bluff if it's not the actual answer. Conspicuous. I don't know, guys. What do you think?
I was going with the Ken and Barbie.
Yeah.
If it was a choice, I would have picked that one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the British ale, you know, Ken Speckle has that sort of weird combination of syllables that don't really go together. But if you say them properly, they do. The British ale part. The egg with the boo-boo.
Yeah, the egg with the blemish.
The egg with the blemish and the flagging of the dragon.
Egg with the boo-boo, it's Speckle. There's the Speckle.
Ken Speckle consumption?
No. It's too complicated for an adjective.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Then again, Paul is looking smug over there for you on radio.
Raised blemish on the eggshell?
Oh, I was thinking it was too obvious that it was a speckle, but.
All right, we'll go with British ale.
You're going to go with British ale?
Yeah.
They have somehow decided, Carolyn, that Ken Speckle is British ale. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Ken Speckle, please make something up.
It is not. That was a bluff. All right, audience, you got a 50-50 shot. What do you say?
I'm very sorry if it's the egg.
How many say the egg? How many say conspicuous, easily recognized?
Okay, I'm really hoping it's not the egg.
I think, Paula, that the adjective wins out here. The conspicuous, easily seen, is what Ken Speckle is. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Ken Speckle. Conspicuous. Yeah. Easily
That's
seen
That's exactly
or
what it is. 10 points for Carolyn's team. Let's go on to round three. In our audience tonight, says you Hall of Famer David Zobel. David pushes our respective envelopes tonight with his round, Working Titles. You're all big-time Hollywood producers, and I'm going to pitch you an idea for your next blockbuster. From the puns, clues, and references to other famous films mentioned in the pitch, please give me the working title for the newly proposed opus. An example, a young man in a fugitive family joins a team of freelance intelligence agents would be Ronin on Empty. Oh. Ronin on Empty. Dave, are you here?
Yeah, but I'm looking for an exit.
Yes.
Good idea.
He's sitting close to the door. Ronin, R-O-N-I-N, Ronin on Empty and Running on Empty. Let's give it a shot.
Maybe the clues will be better.
Try this one, Carolyn. Swaggering general wooing a golfer runs afoul of her manager.
Oh, Patton and Mike.
Is exactly right. 10 points. Patton and Mike.
I got it.
What was the second movie?
Patton, of course.
Patton and Mike.
Patton and Mike.
Yes.
Patton and Mike.
I get it now.
Run while you can.
Yes. I don't care if you get this or not. This is my personal favorite, Doug. And try this one. With the here's the pitch. Me, John Philip Sousa. You, Jane.
Oh.
What
I
might
got
the
it.
Working? You got it?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to write it down for you?
John Philip Sousa.
You, Jane. What you might you call that Jane. Movie?
Tarzan.
The other one was called Stars and Stripes Forever.
Tarzan.
Stars and Stripes Forever. Sousa.
That's exactly right. Tarzan and Stripes Forever.
Yeah. See you out back after the show.
It's Tarzan Stripes Forever, of course. That's a good one. Try this one, Arnie. Crop circles inspire nerds to create a woman.
Inspire nerds.
Nerds.
Crop circles inspire Druids. Nerds.
Crop circles.
You know those things you see from the air. They're
corn,
perfect circles and
rye, wheat, the whole given. Wheat woman.
We have it.
The other side gleefully has it, yes.
Lars and the...
Lars and Stripes.
Bride of Frankenstein is the creating of a woman, right?
No, this is a...
The crops. What's the crop circles got to do with it?
Crop
it's not
circles? City of
Close
women?
Encounters of the something kind.
I mean. No, I don't think they know these movies. I know the other side does know.
No.
I don't think they're going to get it. I go
what
to
kind of crop? Is it millet?
I'm going to go right to Sabrina. Sabrina, do you have, what do you think it is?
It's like weird signs.
Weird signs is exactly right.
Oh, weird signs.
That's exactly right.
Weird signs? Like that.
A combination, of course, of weird science and signs. The movie
weird
Signs.
Science, is
Signs
like
was the crop circle movie. And crop weird circle, science, weird of course, science. The nerds creating a woman.
Wow.
Okay. All right, try this one, Sabrina. An arachnoid on a bus.
Bus is speed.
Speed.
And arachnoid is a spider, right?
Right.
But it's arachnoid.
Tarantula was with
the carrot. Oh, instead of like snakes.
Spider-Man? I don't know.
Instead of like snakes on a plane, it's Spider-Man. Spider on a bus.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Is exactly
oh,
right.
God.
And
with a really small bathing suit.
An arachnoid on a bus is Spider-Man. Very good.
God.
All right, try this one, Paula. An English-speaking dolphin impersonates the president.
Flipper An Bush. English,
what?
Flipper Bush.
English-speaking dolphin.
An English-speaking dolphin.
Dolphin.
Impersonates the president.
Imitates the president.
Yeah, my father's favorite movie.
Is it
movie.
Dave?
Yes.
It's
okay.
Dave.
It's Dave, so...
You're halfway there.
What's the dolphin?
Oh, wasn't it,
dolphin?
Was it Babe?
Dolphin?
No.
Yeah,
no. There was...
Oh, she's dancing all
I'm
around.
I'm passing a brainstone here.
English-speaking... Yeah.
You got it, we got it.
Flipper Dave. I don't know what the other dolphin
Which
is.
Which one of you guys wants it?
I don't know.
Just control yourself. What's the matter with you?
If what if you're wrong and it'll be so
that, I'll go to the other side.
We
four.
Have no sense of porpoise.
Dave of the Dolphin.
Dave of the Dolphin.
The Dave of the Dolphin. That's
what?
Exactly right.
What?
The Dave of the Dolphin. The Day of the Dolphin was the movie.
Dave of the Dolphin?
And finally, Nat, wisecracking army doctors adrift in the Napoleonic Wars.
So it's MASH.
Mm-hmm.
Adrift in the Napoleonic Wars?
War and peace.
Aren't we all?
Mesh
yes.
and peace?
War and mesh?
Les Miserables.
Les Mesherables?
Les Mesherables?
That's pretty good.
You got the mash. You got that part, yeah. But...
In
Adrift
Napoleon
in the Napoleonic Wars.
Mashy Linden?
No. Does the other side know? No. They don't know.
Adrift in the Napoleonic
Anyone
Wars.
Anyone in the audience know? Master and Commander is exactly right. I'd like to thank Mr. David Zobel for that round. Thank you, David.
Did they get any points?
They get, yes, they got MASH, so give them 5 points for that. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Joe Castle of Los Angeles, California. Joe writes, a long time ago you had a round where you just put your finger down in the almanac and ask about what you'd found. Ever since then, just for snorts and giggles, I occasionally do the same. Can you find the show that started me off on this road to ruin? We can and did, Joe. It was from season 3, when Barry Nolan, Francine Akbar, and Tony Khan joined us for some almanacal fun. The other day, I opened the almanac and just put my finger down on the page. What did I find intriguing about, Carolyn? American television from December of 1971 to December of 1976.
December of 1971 to December of 1976. Does this have to do with a particular show that was on the air from 71 to 76?
It does indeed.
Is it all in the family?
It is all in the family.
Was it the first one we copied from Britain? Or
live on tape?
Oh, no, I don't. And it was not. I don't believe it was
the first
live
Norman
on tape,
Lear's?
But it certainly held sway. Any help from...
It was the only one in color on my black and white set.
The only one to take place in Queens.
You're 9 points there, so you'll get 9 points for this. Any help from the audience?
We've gone through everything. What?
No, it was the number one show.
That's
the
what we
longest
said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I missed it. You did say it's the longest
interrupt? Yeah, we're talking about it from the
beginning. I don't know. Maybe I don't think we said that.
Yeah. All right. I thought that was implied in your question.
No. Because of the incredible honesty of Miss Lyons, the full 10 points. Very good.
There we go.
All in the Family was the number one show on American television for 5 years, the longest uninterrupted run in American history. Very good. Tony.
Yes.
Where might one find the names Whipple, Walcott, Witherspoon, and Wythe?
Whipple, well, has there ever been a law firm...
Oh, possibly.
More deserving of the name. Yeah. Whipple, Walcott, Witherspoon, and White.
Aren't we headed more towards radio?
No, we're not. No.
Are we headed toward the bathroom tissue aisle of the supermarket?
We are not. This is a history question.
Walcott.
Ooh, I think somebody in the audience just...
They were all boxing champions.
They were not, unfortunately. Okay. I was hoping that living in New England and hearing Whipple, Walcott, Witherspoon, and White, exactly, from our audience, signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow, great.
You would find their names right down at the bottom.
Who knew that?
You know, we often don't think of it this way, but it was high treason. So
it was indeed.
Some
gutsy things.
Pretty gutsy guys. Arnie, in the last 150 years, only one single Secretary of Commerce became the only cabinet official to do something. Do what?
You could stop her actually to do anything. He's the only member of the cabinet.
Last cabinet official to
do. The last Secretary of Commerce to do.
I will give you a hint here later, but in the last 150 years, only one single Secretary of Commerce became the only cabinet official to do something.
Herbert Hoover became president.
Yes.
Yeah. How he knows these things.
Thank you.
So much for the clue 1924, yes. Herbert Hoover was the only cabinet head ever to succeed to the White House in the last 150 years. He did so in 1924 from his seat as head of Secretary of Commerce.
He's a scary kind of guy.
He is a scary.
You never know.
Francine, an analogy. Kilimanjaro is to Cairo as Kosciuszko is to what? Kilimanjaro is to Cairo as Kosciuszko, K-O-S-C-I-U-S-K-O.
I believe it's a circle in Dorchester.
Yeah, it is a circle in Dorchester.
Polish patriot.
Yeah. Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro is the highest mountain on the African continent, and Kosciuszko, that thing with a K, is the highest mountain in Russia, right?
Not Russia.
Poland. In Europe?
No.
No.
Well, how about...
the other side, I think, has
India,
an inkling at this.
Asia.
You are right.
Australia.
Exactly.
Australia.
And the analogy...
Canberra?
Not Canberra, no.
Sydney?
Sydney is right. Boy, how many points do we give him for that one?
Richard, I think minus 6.
Yeah. Minus 6 is right there.
It was pretty much orthodonture, wasn't it? It just...
Yeah.
I think we'll give them 5 points because Barry did know about Kilimanjaro and Cairo, and so you know, we'll go that way. Kilimanjaro is the highest mountain on the continent of Africa. Cairo, the largest city. Kosciuszko is therefore the highest mountain in Australia, and the largest city is Sydney. Very good. Paula?
Yes.
What are the 10 most frequently cited grounds for divorce in the United States?
Wow. I have to name all 10 of them?
10.
1 point each.
1 point each. Mental cruelty.
There you go.
Irreconcilable differences.
Is not one of the top 10. I
was
so surprised.
I am shocked. Yeah. Adultery.
Adultery. Is that's true.
Desertion?
Desertion.
Desertion would be one.
Picking one's teeth at the table.
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Lousy manners, right.
Picking someone else's teeth?
Yeah. That's another one, yes. That's
fraud?
Fraud is one. I can't believe you got that.
False pretenses or fraud.
Yes.
Bankruptcy?
Well, I'll put that under non-support. Oh. Yes.
Non-support.
If someone's in prison?
Prison is also correct. Felony, you're doing very well.
Okay, if someone's committed to a hospital?
That's insanity. We'll go ahead.
Insanity,
we'll
okay.
Do that.
On whose part exactly?
The ones you missed. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to give you 10 points because it's a wonderful job that you've done. Let me read the top 10 cited grounds. Adultery, mental cruelty, desertion, drug dependency, impotency, non-support, insanity, bigamy, felony conviction, and fraud.
My wife has 6 causes already.
I know. We don't want to know.
You know, I was looking at this list and I was thinking to myself, Thursday. You know, and Barry, another list. There are 10 specified items, other than other, which may be deducted on Schedule A of the U.S. Tax Form 1040. 1 point for each legitimate deduction.
Starting right off, mental cruelty.
Yeah.
That's number one. Charity, I think.
Charity is correct.
Mortgage. Interest
is correct.
Medical expenses.
Medical expenses also.
And local taxes.
State and local taxes. That's one.
Loss.
Casualty and theft. Casualty yes, and very good.
Okay.
I can't believe you guys are getting this. I guess you look closer than I.
Yes, I do.
You know what?
How about overestimating?
No, I'm going to give you 9 points because you got almost everything. Let me just go through them. Medical and dental, mortgage interest, investment interest, and then a whole raft of taxes, state and local taxes, real estate taxes, personal property taxes, charitable gifts, theft and casualty, unreimbursed employer expenses, if you have dues, that kind of thing, and finally, tax preparation.
Yes.
That's where you pay your account. That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round 4. Which is Doug's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word meecher. M-E-E-C-H-E-R. Meecher. Ladies? Richard, I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Where if you just follow that join the fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. We'll be right back.
Support for Says You and WPLN comes from Grand Avenue, providing corporate, special occasion, and customized transportation in Nashville and beyond. Information on reserving sedans, buses, limos, and more is online at grandavenueworldwide.com. And by Associates in Gastroenterology, offering personal and private routine colon cancer screenings to diagnose and treat colon cancer early. More on routine screenings for ages 50 and over are online at associatesingastro.com. And by the Ryman Auditorium, hosting the Americana Music Association, featuring Levon Helm's Ramble at the Ryman on May 6th. Tickets to see this Grammy Award-winning show are available now. Tickets are online at ryman.com. And support comes from the Nashville Public Radio Producers Circle, whose generous members, including James Gooch, believes in the lasting value of public radio. The time is 9:45. It's 53 degrees in Nashville.
Support for Says You in Thousand Oaks, California comes from California Lutheran University, dedicated to excellence in the liberal arts and professional studies. And special thanks to Sage Publications, believing passionately that engaged scholarship lies at the heart of any healthy society. On the web at sagepub.com. That's S-A-G-E-P-U-B. Is Joyce Keating and Christine DeKlotz from the music program at California Lutheran University. Thank you very much for giving us a lovely evening, ladies. And a few moments with the word meacher. We will go first to Doug Palau.
Well, first I thought it had to be a Yiddish term. You know, he's a meacher, you know? But I don't think it is. Actually, what it is it was used in colonial days. It's a tool that's used to tighten the bolts on a horse-drawn carriage.
You got a horse-drawn carriage.
It's getting loose. You bring the meacher in. You tighten it up.
Bring out the old meacher.
Bring me the meacher, yes.
Okay. Could be that. Could be that tightening tool, or it could be something else. What say you, Sabrina?
I say that meacher is a word that you could find in like a story like West Side Story, the kids and Officer Krupke. A sneaky kid who is not above skipping school.
A sneaky kid is a meacher. Little sneaky kid could cut class. That's a meacher. Could be. Or it could be something else. What do you say, Nat?
Meacher is a unit of measure that was used before they invented actual weights, such as a thimble full of salt, which was a very precious commodity, was considered a unit of measure. It was considered a meacher of salt.
A meacher of salt is a thimble full of salt is a meacher.
Well, essentially a unit of measure before measures were set standards. Okay. It's a unit of measure.
You had a meacher. How much salt you got? A meacher and a half.
That's right.
Okay. That could be that measurement. It could be that sneaky kid. Or it could be that tightening tool that you heard about first. It's one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
I think the tool used to tighten bolts on a carriage would be a wrench.
There was an old English term for it as well. I mean, don't sell it short.
A wrench.
A wrench.
You can see where they got the word wrench from meacher.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The school skipper, perhaps. The unit of measure, meacher of salt. I don't know if it's a. I don't think it's a unit of measure. I think it's the school skipper. Meacher during recess.
Well, you're so persuasive, Carolyn. I agree with you.
Do you? And Arnie?
I'm irrelevant.
Yeah. Yes, but do you agree with me?
Go ahead.
Why
what am
you,
I going to say?
Why are you irrelevant?
Let's see. Last I counted, there are three of us.
Yeah.
Two are voting for Miss Wind.
Yeah, you're irrelevant. What can
I'm
say?
Going to go along with the flow here because I, I think you're right. There was a wrench that was the tool. Or that's a wrench is a Jewish farm. I don't know about that thimble either. I'll go with.
All right. Sabrina. We're going with Sabrina.
We're going with the kid.
Sabrina?
The sneaky kid.
They have decided that a meacher is a sneaky, dishonest kid who's not above skipping school. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Meacher. You two need to learn how to bluff better. A sneaky, dishonest kid who's not above skipping school.
That's what it is. 10 points.
Sorry, I gave myself a hard time last time.
It is just tough to bluff those Easterners. Very good, you guys. Let's go on to round 5. I'm going to give you directions to a famous U.S. tourist destination. I'm going to give them to you in 3 steps. The faster you can tell me where we're going, the faster we'll get there.
I see.
You're looking for a tourist destination in the United States. Carolyn, about 2 hours west of the Badlands.
About 2 hours.
Mount Rushmore.
Boy, he got that one in no time flat.
He's a Westerner.
That's exactly right. You didn't need just northeast of Custer and not far from Bismarck Lake. And, of course, you didn't need in the Black Hills National Forest in South Dakota. It is Mount Rushmore. Try this one, Doug. About midway between St. Catharines and Cheektowaga.
Cheektowaga?
Yep.
Catharines?
Cheap
what is Catharines?
Cheat?
Sounds like Niagara Falls.
You know what? It's exactly Niagara Falls.
Then it is Niagara Falls.
Very good.
And slowly I turn.
Slowly I turn. Step by step.
Inch by inch. That part I know.
Where's that slapstick when you need it?
Yeah. You didn't need just downstream of Buckhorn Island and astraddle the Canadian border near Buffalo. You didn't need any of that.
I've played Cheektowaga.
You played Cheektowaga?
It's a terrific town.
How about Tonawanda?
I've been to Tonawanda, Cheektowaga.
Cheek to cheek.
All right. Try this one, Arnie. 4 to 5 hours drive from Pasadena, Baytown, and Sugar Land.
4 to 5 hours? Yosemite?
No. That's not it. Okay.
Knott's Berry Farm.
No. The second one is on the South Pan Am Expressway, about a third of the way from the state capital to the border.
Which state capital?
Sacramento.
That's what you're going to have to figure out.
Big Sur?
No.
Where are we?
Wrong state.
Wrong state.
Wrong state. Mm. Yeah.
Oh. Pasadena.
I don't think they're going
to
get it.
It's not California.
And from 4 to 5 hours drive from Pasadena, Baytown, and Sugarland on the South Pan Am Expressway, about a third away from the state capital to the border, we add near the Riverwalk.
Behind the Alamo.
San Antonio.
The Alamo is right. That's 4 points.
San Antonio,
Texas.
I assume it's a different place.
All right, Sabrina, try this one.
How did they move the Alamo so close to Pasadena? I don't remember this.
Pasadena is right outside of Houston, actually.
There's another one.
Pasadena and Baytown and Sugar Land.
Yeah.
Sugar Land was the clue there.
Yeah.
Try this one, Sabrina. Just a little northeast of the Mason-Dixon line.
Gettysburg?
That's a good one.
I didn't hear that. Not Gettysburg. That's a great guess, though.
Oh, northeast. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going east.
Okay.
Chesapeake Bay.
No. To just a little northeast of the Mason-Dixon line, add much closer to Penn's Landing than Rocky Steps.
Well, yeah. Philadelphia? Liberty Bell.
Yeah.
The Liberty Bell is... Oh, no. That was a second guess. So the Liberty Bell is correct. Very good. And that's 7 points for that. To that, we were going to add on Independence Mall near Congress Hall, but you didn't need that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do these last two are the hard ones. Let's see if we can get it. Paula, 200 miles as the crow flies south of the Stanislaus National Forest.
The Stanislaus National Forest.
Yes.
I thought you were talking the United States. Isn't that in Poland?
No.
I mean,
it's not, unfortunately.
Stanislaus National Forest.
200?
I'm a city girl.
Yeah, 200
from
miles
from a small
south.
Town in the east.
Oh.
Stanislaus National Forest.
Where would that be?
Would that be in Wisconsin?
It is not.
No, Minnesota?
To 200 miles as the crow flies south of Stanislaus National Forest, we add roughly midway between Tea Kettle Junction and Pahrump.
Pahrump is Kansas, right?
No. P-A-H-R-U-M-P, Pahrump.
Your daughter knows it.
I saw a TV show that has Pahrump in it.
Any thoughts?
So I'm aware of where it is.
All right, try to get... Then try to get this one. To 200 miles south of the Stanislaus National Forest and roughly between Tea Kettle and Pahrump, add off State Route 190 in Furnace Creek, California.
Oh.
What, Sutter's Mill? No.
No, not Sutter's Mill. Well, we didn't ask you about the Worcester Armor either.
Yeah, right.
You
know,
you
gotta...
Furnace Creek?
Furnace Creek, California.
How about nothing?
Water.
Anybody on
the
Gold Rush.
I don't think they know. Anybody on the other side know?
Old Faithful?
Nope, it is not.
Palm Springs?
Nope. From the audience? Death Valley.
Death
Valley. Furnace Creek, Death Valley. Tough one, but this one's just as hard, so Nat, see if you can close it out.
Right.
About a day's hike south of the Pisgah National Forest.
Anybody? Pisgah?
See, you're not as good on this one, are you?
Naomi Campbell?
Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell. About a day's hike south of the Pisgah National Forest. P-I-S-G-A-H.
Oh, well, that helps. Yes. I don't know. Bryce Canyon.
Day's
what do I
hike.
Know?
How about the Grand Canyon?
No, it's not. Mm. That was a great guess.
It isn't a canyon.
To a day's hike south of the Pisgah National Forest, add just north of where the Blue Ridge Parkway crosses French Broad.
So it's Virginia or West Virginia.
It's a day's hike
away. It ain't Butcher Holler.
No, it's not Butcher Holler. That's for sure.
But it's a day's hike away from
the Blue Ridge Parkway crosses French Broad.
Graceland?
No, another good guess. That's not it. Mm. And to the Pisgah National Forest and north of where the Blue Ridge Parkway crosses French Broad, at the top of Approach Road, just south of Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh. I've actually been there. Wait a minute.
A tourist destination that we're actually going to play next season.
Oh.
Nothing, huh?
I don't think they know this.
Not a
clue.
Oh, the Biltmore Mansion?
The Biltmore Mansion is exactly right.
Oh, nice.
It's the Biltmore Estate. And no points for that.
Okay.
It was a tough day, but it was a great day. For Carolyn Faye Fox's team, 80 points, winners this week. Congratulations. That is all we have time for in Thousand Oaks, California. Thanks so much to Mary Olson, Jim Rondo, Lance Orozco, and Mia Carnett-Shiflett at KCLU-FM here in Thousand Oaks. People out here love their public radio. Thanks so much to all the folks here at the Schur Forum for all your help and hospitality. Schur and Salkin write the words. Mark Holden mans the meters, ably assisted by Wes Dewberry. And Zach Moore is soon hard at work senior year. So long today from Thousand Oaks, where by law, if you want to go out of business, first you got to get a permit. Thanks, Thousand Oaks, for being gracious hosts, and we'll see you all next week.
Support for CEJU in Thousand Oaks, California comes from the good folks at KCLU-FM. Public radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties from California Lutheran University.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says you. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. Support for our programming this morning comes from WPLN listener members and from NS2, presenting the Moody Blues live in concert at the Ryman Auditorium, Wednesday, March 21st at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available now at Ryman.com or at the Ryman box office. Nashville weather for today, a 20% chance of showers this afternoon with increasing clouds today and the high in the upper 60s. And for tonight, showers and thunderstorms, the low in the mid-50s. And for Monday tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms before 1 o'clock. Then a chance of showers and the high in the lower 70s. Right now, it's 55 degrees.